Maybe the worst part about our exorbitant healthcare spending is that so many people still have little or no coverage. About 29 million Americans had no health insurance in all of 2019, and that number is rising. About 45% of Americans ages 19 to 64 are underinsured, meaning their out-of-pocket costs are so high, they're just simply unaffordable. Even more alarming, one in six Americans have medical debt in collections. For Americans of color who have medical debt collections, that number is one in five. Here's what I suggest. I suggest checking out a truly viable alternative to expensive traditional health insurance. Go to zionhealth.org and tell them you heard it on the Resilience Podcast. Zion Health is a nonprofit health share. In essence, each member contributes monthly towards a pool of money, which is used to help pay for the large medical expenses of the Zion Health community. It could work for you, your family, your business, and your employees, so go check them out. Now on to today's episode. Today's episode, we're talking about confidence, defining what success is to us, and what bumblebees and racehorses can teach us. This is the Resilience Podcast 367. I'm Cecil Ledesma, recording live from Austin, Texas. It is so beautiful here. It's Thursday, June 16th. It's a powerful example of the critical role that confidence plays at the highest levels. In his book, Chasing Excellence, Ben Bergeron, one of the most successful coaches at the very highest levels in the CrossFit Games, says true confidence is being secure in the knowledge that fully committing to training and competing with excellence is enough, even if that excellence does not produce victories. That's it. It's knowing that you don't need to be winning all the time, that you are still okay if you aren't winning at halftime, that it's okay if the opposing team goes on a hot streak, and that the season isn't over if you lose a game or two. You see, ultimate confidence is understanding that you simply need to find a way to give your best at every moment and every opportunity in order to measure up to your own standard of success. The operative words, your own standard, not measuring against anybody else's, but your own. It's an approach Bergeron modeled after a mantra coined by Joe Freil, one of the top triathlon coaches, where he said, think like a bumblebee, train like a racehorse. Here's what I found out, or learned. Racehorses are special. They're not like just any other horse. They're elite athletes, and they know it. They train with heart monitors. They do interval workouts. They have coaches, massage therapists. They eat a special diet, and they have recovery protocols that they must follow. It sounds like I'm describing a human athlete, and I very well could be, because top racehorses and top human athletes are similar in just about every way but one. And that one difference is crucial. It gives racehorses a huge advantage over us. Racehorses can't think for themselves. I get it. But if that doesn't sound like an advantage, I challenge you to think about it this way. Racehorses are incapable of second-guessing their coaches, overanalyzing their performance, or logging junk miles. They're unable to sandbag a workout if they're not feeling up for training on a particular day. They don't look at the other racehorses and compare themselves, or wonder if they're with the right coach, or on the right training program. On race day, They don't walk by the stalls or their competitors and think, holy crap, look at the legs on him. How am I going to compete with that? Racehorses just perform. They can't second guess anything, and they have no biological choice but to have a laser focus on the task at hand. They're able to do what we try to get our human athletes to do, as naturally as breathing. When they win, they don't change anything about their routine, and they aren't fundamentally changed. The next day is just another routine training day, because winning or learning is part of the process, not the end point. The comparison aspect is particularly damaging to athletes and us as individuals, and its absence is the part of the racehorse's mind I wish we could download into every mind of performers. In sport, especially, comparison is everywhere, and it's ridiculously hard to avoid. I'll tell you what, good coaches suggest to their athletes not to fall into the comparison trap, but great coaches fully demand their athletes shut it all out. Athletes under great coaches don't post their workouts anywhere. They don't so much as glance at the leaderboard. You see, racehorses aren't biologically capable of understanding what their competitors are doing. They're completely focused on themselves. If an athlete's goal is to beat their competitor, then by definition, they're not reaching their full potential. They're simply clearing the bar of the next guy's potential. Bumblebees are the other side of the confidence coin. See, bumblebees are physically improbable creatures that somehow exist and fly around contrary to every physical law that states they shouldn't be able to. They're relatively huge, heavy, furry animals with proportionally tiny wings. Before anyone took the time to actually figure out how bumblebees stay in the air, the popular folklore saying, and actually still is, according to physics, bumblebees cannot fly. But nobody ever explained physics to bumblebees, so they fly around anyway. Where this relates to an individual's mindset is that the bumblebee is the definition of confident. It knows that flying is what it should be doing, so contrary to the natural laws of the world, it keeps on doing exactly what it believes it is capable of doing. As humans, we have the ability to think on a deeper level, in the boardroom or in a relationship. Careful, meticulous thought brings you success, right? But in sports, this works against us. Out on the field, it's a disaster. On the field, in order to win, you need to be 100% confident that you are where you're supposed to be and 100% focused on the task in front of you. You need to be in the zone, in the place where your subconscious mind takes over and thinking, all thinking stops. Thinking is slow. We want athletes to be automatic. Obviously, we can't be racehorses and bumblebees at all times, which is part of the reason great coaches work on their athletes to build their mindset before they step out onto the competition floor. Confidence is a character trait that develops from defining success in terms that can be controlled by the athlete. In fact, one of the most important components of building an individual's mindset is coming up with a definition of success that is 100% not tied to the result they're after. What happens then if I don't win? Am I forever defined by this result? Tying success or failure to one single point in time, one event over which you really don't have much control of the circumstances, sets you up for unavoidable failure, because there's no way anyone can win every single time. As an exercise, ask yourself what success means to you and write it down. Don't just think of it. Write it down. Share it with a coach or someone you're accountable to. And then display it somewhere where you can see it every day, like on a bathroom mirror, on a fridge. Katrin David's daughter was the fittest woman in the world, winning the CrossFit Games in 2015 and 16. Here's an example of her definition of success. She says, "Success to me is giving full effort, knowing that was the best I was capable of. Full effort means nothing if day-to-day preparation was not all I had. Success to me is giving everything I have into each and every day, each and every moment, training, recovery, family, friends, giving back, inspiring, loving what I do. Then, come game time, give full effort, knowing I am the best I am capable of becoming." Notice in what she just said, in her definition of success, notice that there's nothing in there about winning, nothing about scores, nothing about personal records. Actually, zero talk about winning the CrossFit Games. Never once has the subject been uttered. We choose to focus on what's inside our control. And what we can control is exactly what she defined as success. It's what we can focus on this day, this hour, this minute. We can work into each and every moment with every ounce of effort and personal grit that we can muster. In doing that, we're truly successful in each moment. And results, when you live and work that way, are a foregone conclusion. Remember this, now is everything you have to work with. When you live it fully, it is more than enough. Let's get to work. Thanks so much for listening. See you tomorrow. Hey, I'll see you next time, and thank you so much for tuning in. That about wraps it up. But before you jump off, two quick things, actually, three. One, I've always wanted to author the conversation on resilience and mental health, because as a very proud Navy father, these topics affect me personally. And as you go about your day, be sensitive and be kind always, for everyone you meet is fighting a battle you probably know nothing about. Your life is a gift and it's precious to me. And thank you so much for being a part of this community. And I'm not quite sure how you landed on this podcast. It doesn't matter to me. The fact that we're all in this together and that we can have a conversation is amazing. I feel very honored to be in your ears right now and that you spend a portion of your morning, noon, or night with me. And whether this is the first podcast you've listened to or you've been a loyal listener, I just want to say thank you. And last, please, I would be honored if you checked out my website at cecilledesma.com. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. You can follow me on Twitter at Cecil Ledesma. Peace.